Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are the morning shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. That's the last time I'm going to say we're live from Flowery Branch, guys.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Well, not ever, just
not
like...
Not ever for this season, though, because it is the final day.
I'll take you to a dark place.
Maybe.
She's saying for right now.
But maybe. You never know. There's something might happen. We might have to be up here. Like, we might... You never know. I mean, don't... Like, no, come on now. Come on.
You ever seen that SNL skit, that Debbie Downer? It's like, boom, boom. It takes it to a different level.
How am I being the downer? Whoa. I'm trying to tell you that you're being the downer. You know, it's the last time I can say
got
that.
Got the Uno reverse card put on you.
I'm just trying to emphasize the importance of today. Because it's the last day we're going to be out here, and we do have this joint practice going on. So there's a lot to be paying attention to. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. You can literally feel the excitement, though, of these fans walking in. We just had Wayne in Decatur stop by. He just chatted with us. His energy is infectious, and I feel that he kind of echoes the energy of everyone that's kind of been coming through. Everyone's excited about this season.
There's an enthusiasm about the 2025 Falcons that I think that we've been building towards, but I think there's been questions about, you know, you didn't really have that many questions last year, I guess, about the quarterback situation. But before that, it's been kind of up and down. And I feel like Michael Penix in the upcoming era, mm-hmm. the window that you feel like is opening right now, you just feel like the possibilities are endless for this team.
Can I politely disagree with you? Because I was asked the same question the other night by a Browns fan. And he was like, and it's my boy Joe. He was like, hey, you know, he's from Cleveland. And he was like, why are Falcons fans so optimistic? And I said, because you've got these guys that have been weapons for years. And then you have a quarterback that you actually trust. I think a lot of fans didn't trust what Kirk Cousins was going to be last year because of the Achilles. And I think they were half glass half full, whatever you want to, half empty, whatever you want to call it. They were not all the way in on this team last year because they still questioned the quarterback position. And because of Cousins at his age coming off that Achilles injury. But you pair that, the confidence this fan base seems to have in Penix with the weapons based on what the little sample size they saw last year, with the additions of two first-round edge rushers. And I think that it just feels like they feel like it's all come together. One of which is from Georgia, which this fan base does and should trust for with the product they put out in the NFL. And then another guy from the SEC who only led the SEC the last 2 years in pressures.
Yeah.
So I think the quarterback thing to me is a big deal. I don't know if a lot of people still was all in on Kirk Cousins last year in this fan base.
But do you not feel like the same amount of people have questions still about Penix, where they're going to approach the Penix thing and go, we only saw him for 3 games last year. We don't really know.
Because
I feel like it's the same people. I feel like there's the ones that want to look half empty, and it's just like, I'm going to always give myself an out. I'm going to give myself a reason not to believe. And I think it is a relatively small fraction. I'm talking about 10% of this fan base, I think, kind of looks at it that way.
I believe that there is some different people that are doing the doubting on Penix, but I think it's less than last year because I believe there's more people who are just like, well, you know, I'm not sold. And I also think there is a segment of every fan base and just football fans in general and enthusiasts in general that like a certain type of quarterback these days. And I think Kirk Cousins doesn't fit that because he can't move seemingly at all.
Well, and look, in fairness, I think it did hamper this offense at times last year. I think there's no secret about that. I also think that Jeff Ulbrich has brought a sense of energy. There was a lot of unknowns about Jimmy Lake, and I think that, you know, you bring in Raheem Morris, it's year one, it's like, okay, kind of rebuilding year in a lot of different ways. Jeff Ulbrich seems like a kind of guy, and we've talked to a number of defensive players that are like, yeah, it's just an energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a passion that he seems to bring, and we've watched him out there. He bounces around, so – just talking in terms of the changes from now to a year ago, I think that's definitely one of them. But, you know, look, it is our last day out here at Flowery Branch. Unfortunately, I do have to point out that it's August 13th. They have a lot of work to do between now and that opening game, which it just feels like we're so close to the season starting.
Yeah.
We're really not. We're really not that close. I mean, there's, you know, what, 4 weeks, something like that, until we're actually going to, you know, get to see these guys you know, toe meat leather. But, yeah, man, I just think that most of the people, and obviously it's going to be a skewed sample size when you talk about people driving to Flowery Branch for practice, but a lot of enthusiasm. There definitely is. And, you know, that merch trailer over there has been bumping for the last few days.
Oh, it absolutely has. The jerseys are selling like hotcakes over there. So based on yesterday's joint practice with the Titans, what can we kind of expect today? There was a lot going on, a lot of different groups yesterday. Is it going to be more of a scrimmage situation today, more 11-on-11s? What are you expecting?
I would have to believe, and there was situational periods yesterday. Bo can correct me wrong. I think that by the end of it, we started watching kind of different things. There were situational points yesterday where I think you had a two-minute drill. I think you had, but there's so many situations. I would not be shocked if we witnessed a short yardage today, which we haven't really seen throughout camp, but we also haven't seen much one-on-one pass rush. It's been very limited. We haven't seen two-on-two pass rush at all, from my memory. I would not be shocked if you get to a goal line short yardage style of period where the pads really get to thumping in there and they can kind of go live on some of the things where you haven't normally been able to do that. I think that would be one thing that I'm looking, going, okay, we haven't seen this yet. I'm curious to see if that's one of the things they have on the schedule today.
Yeah, it's going to be in some ways a carbon copy of yesterday as far as how they start, mm-hmm. how they go to, from what I can gather, the individual stuff, and then go to the field and do 11-on-11 work, Allie. Now, they might work on different parts of 11-on-11 work. As Mike is explaining about the short yardage stuff, I absolutely believe they'll do some of that.
Yeah.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't every training camp practice seemingly end with two-minute drill? It feels like.
It probably looks like that. Yeah. A lot of times you just call it move the ball.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you've been a part of a football team, a lot of times the drill stays in the same spot. They will do a move the ball to where you have to spot it. You know, you have to get into a huddle. You have to kind of work on, you know, waiting on the referees, the chain gang, whatever it may be, to kind of reset. So I think it probably looks a lot like 2 minute. And mixed in with that will be some third down drill where it's they're airing it out. That probably looks a lot like 2 minute as well. But you know, when you start getting the clock lined up and it's at a minute 20 and you got one timeout and things like that, and the coaches are yelling, and you might have to spike and everything like that. So yeah, it's good stuff though.
And if you're out here and you're on your way out here, sometimes you can tell late in the practice what they're doing by kind of paying attention to a clock and stuff, you know, and seeing kind of without, you know, how the scoreboard up here can kind of help you as well.
Yeah.
Are you going to be our tour guide again today, Bo? Show us where everything is.
I'm going to try. I need to get my roadmap for where we're going and how we're going, because yesterday I did, and I don't know if Allie was like was laughing because of how I was doing it, but yesterday she was like, so when do you think they're going to do those drills? I was like 10:23, and she just looked at me. She's like, really? I go, yeah. And then she goes, what time is it now? I was like, it's like 10:15.
Well, the funny part of that conversation is, you know, that Bo probably 10 minutes prior had the exact same conversation with somebody else.
Yeah.
Probably looked at Arch and was like, hey, when do you think they're going to drive?
10:23.
You want to know
the truth? Someone came out here and was talking to me during the show yesterday.
Nice.
And I all ignored them, and I was talking to them, and they gave me
we were probably on air.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a you thing.
No, we were all in a dinner corner commercial break. Don't try to – no. Don't – no. No. Now, you
just
guys,
throwing
big
that out
time,
there.
You big time people. I'm the man of the people.
Right.
So I find out stuff while y'all live in the dark.
That's me and Allie, big timers. Yeah, that's us.
Little Baron Burton's W sauce in the New Realm Owl and Lager.
Or a lot. Could be either way. Could be.
Anyways, moving right along. So I got to meet a proud member of Squid Nation last night when I was at Cancun's. Miss Pearl stopped by the restaurant and said hey to me, my wife, my buddy Bristow,
Squid
and his daughter.
Squid Nation for life.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for
that's
her.
And address that
she met. She goes, where's Pork Chop at? And I was like, she's right here. And she got to meet Pork Chop. And got to chat for a while. But it was really nice meeting her. She goes, her son, I know both of her sons. They're listeners, and they also work out at the same gym I do in there. She goes, my son said I'm a drop on the show. I said, you are.
I said, Squid Nation for life.
We've got you saying Squid Nation for life, and she was laughing. She had a good time. She appreciates it. It was so nice to finally catch up with her and meet her for the first time. Now, I teased a story about the UFC's new deal with Paramount. Remember we talked about it on Monday, the $7.7 billion deal that they basically, in 2026, they'll no longer be doing pay-per-view model. It'll be all on Paramount Plus, and then some of the numbered fights, I think all of the numbered fights will be on CBS. So, like, UFC 900 will be on CBS, and then, you know, UFC Fight Night will be on Paramount Plus and that kind of stuff. So, one fighter, one legendary fighter, doesn't think it's going to be great. You guys remember George St. Pierre?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, one of the pound-for-pound best fighters to ever walk the earth in the UFC. And also appeared in a couple movies. He was in a movie I was watching the other day, and I can't remember what movie it was. But anyways, not important. He doesn't like this model for the fighter. He says, look, it could be good for the UFC as a promoter, but it's going to be terrible for the fighters. Because when I was competing, I was able to have a great argument to negotiate on my contract. See, fighters in the UFC, they don't make these box. The reason why UFC fighters get win titles and then they say they want to have a boxing match is because it's one big payout.
Right.
If they sign like 5-7 fight deals, and it's hard to make a ton of money off these deals. They're not making the ridiculous millions that boxers make.
Right.
And he goes, look, I could tell the UFC, hey, if you want me to do all of the promotion, I want to become a partner. I want a piece of the pie to negotiate a part of the pay-per-view revenue, because if I'm doing all the promotion, I'm helping you, but you need to help me. You need to make me a partner. So it might be a bad thing for the fighters in a way that they have less leverage when negotiating their deals. I think it's a very good point. To the extent, though, I do believe that UFC is still trying to pack these houses. There's still some sales that come along with it, but it does lessen the leverage that these fighters have.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. But right now, we got to get out to practice. It is the second joint practice with the Titans today. So for Mike, Bo, Dylan, myself, Allie Mack, and Slim, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.